This is channel 2 over. This is channel 2 over. This is the beginning of channel 2 over. The visit with Mr. Morganson on Saturday, the 5th of October, 1968. This is channel 2 over. This is channel 2 over. And the visit with Mr. Morganson on Saturday, the 5th of October, 1968. This is channel 2 over. This is channel 2 over. And the beginning of the visit with Mr. Morganson on Saturday, the 5th of October, 1968.
Hey. Good morning.
Yeah.
You got a good location.
Yeah. Me. That was some good men.
Who helped you on it?
Jim Davis laid up the block. I done everything else myself.
Yeah. Well, that's what you said you're going to do. Yes, I know him.
He's county commissioner.
Oh.
He didn't do nothing. He just had a crew working. Actually, Robert Waters. You might know Robert. He's a McIntosh boy. He don't live there now. He lives up Gainesville, but he's born and raised in McIntosh. He was the one that brought the crew out here and laid it up and everything. They was a little over a day laying it up and pouring the lintel.
Yeah.
He came out here one morning, sorted up in the morning, and worked that day, and then they came back the next day, and they'd gone before dinner.
Yeah.
Poured the lintel and everything, put the iron in it and everything. I got iron down to the ground.
Yeah.
Down the walls, you know.
They just geared for it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they geared for it. They used to have to have your lumber on hand, and they'd come in and use your lumber and their scaffolding, and use your lumber to work off of.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They had everything this time. They didn't even use a piece of my lumber. I had lumber laying here in the way. Of course, I wouldn't have had it if I'd have known they was going to do that. But they came in here and set up their trusses and threw their had plywood, and they threw that plywood up on them and. Oh, they was gone before you knew it, hurt.
Yeah.
Well, they came in here one morning, long up in the morning, and real funny, had a nigger with him. He's kind of lazy, kind of a nigger. He mixed mud. Had his mortar box sitting right out there, and he says, "Where are I going to get water?" I said, "Well, there's a ditch right over yonder behind where we're going to build a house, and there's a lake right out there. Which one do you want to get it out of?" The man, he said, "I can't carry water there and mix this mud and everything." I said, "Well, you got a barrel?" He said, "Yeah, sir." I said, "You set your barrel out there and I'll fill it up with water for you." "Okay, okay, now." I said, "Going to take a whole lot out of it." "Well, we won't worry about the amount." I said, "You use all you want to." I got a little old 2-inch pump back there. And I got it on two wheels and I wheeled it out there and set it on the bank of the ditch. Hooked up that 2-inch line to it and throwed it over there next to the barrel. I said, "Now you stick it in your barrel and hold it, and I'll fill it full for you." And Robert was standing there, and I cranked it up, had it timed, and I cranked it up. And it was a running along, no water coming. He said, "Ain't none coming, ain't none coming." And I said, "Well, you'll get it in a minute." And about that time, I heard it sound like it was going to choke down the motor, you know, and then it took off again after the governor, you know, took off. That nigga had that pipe, he went this way with me, went back that way, I thought he was going to knock him down. Finally, he got it down the barrel, and I saw Robert take his watch out, and had one of those 55-gallon barrels, you know. Yeah. Robert had his watch in hand, I saw him look at his watch when he hollered, "It's coming." And then he says, that's it, stop it. And I just flipped the short on the pump, cut the pump off, you know. I didn't try to cut the water off, just cut the pump off. And, of course, it run a little out on the ground, quite a bit out on the ground. Robert came on out there where I was, and he said, "You know how long it took to fill that barrel?" I said, "Oh, I guess about a half minute." He said, 25 seconds.
Is that right? Is that right?
25 seconds.
Well, that's right. Well, what are you doing with that pump, Mr. Boggs?
Well, I bought it, about 2 years ago, and I was going to take it down on the lake and pump in a... fill in a hole down there on the lot I got down on Lake South Opera.
Yeah.
And let's see, it had been quite 2 years ago. It was last August, a year ago, why I got sick, had that little spell in my heart, you know, and I never felt like I was able to go back down there and do it.
Yeah.
Just never got around to it, you know.
Yeah.
So I just, of course, kept my pump. I still haven't got around to it.
Just
didn't feel like going and doing it.
Yeah.
And what I was going to do is just throw one end out in the lake and the other end up on the bank and and then just put that down in that sand and pump the sand up on the bank. And,
oh, really?
Oh, it,
Would it do that?
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I could fill that lot up and... 3 or 4 hours, wouldn't you?
Why, Mr. Morrison.
Yes,
golly, I never would have thought of that.
Yeah. You got to fix it right. You've got to get right down to your sand and get your sand stirred up, you know, and get it started, and then you just put that in there, and it'll come out. You see what you do, you pump your, just pump your water up on the bank, and it's got that sand stirred up in it, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
of course, it just comes on through, too.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have a ditch, so your water run back in the... in the lake. Well, what I was going to do is a low place over next side, and I just go let it run off and go down that low place.
Yeah.
Well, it leaves the sand up there, you know.
Yeah.
Because as soon as...
Well, is that the same principle that they have when they dredge?
Yeah.
Just
that's all it
thing.
Is, just a little dredge.
Just a little dredge.
Yeah. Of course, with those dredges, they got a... oh, I forget what to call them. It's just like a kind of like an egg beater.
Uh-huh.
And they got that, and it just... stirs it up, you know, and then that pump takes it right out of there.
Oh,
all stirred up.
Yeah.
You know, well, an old dredge, one big old dredges, it'll dredge an acre a day, fill it up that much, that in trouble.
Yeah.
I tell you what, there's a guy down at Ruskin, got an acre of land, it's just about a square acre of it. And it's just old, it's just a swamp, and it was right in the middle of Ruskin. Alongside of a little old stream went out into the bay, you know, Tampa Bay. And I was going to Tampa one morning, and as I went through there, they were setting a dredge up across the road, and they pulled the pipe around under the bridge and up on that land. And it was as far, the dredge was as far from the lot as from here to the highway, or just about that far.
Uh-huh.
And then the lot was just an acre square, or about an acre, I'd say.
Yeah.
And that afternoon when I came back, they were taking the pipe down. They done had it all filled up right up level with the highway.
I'll be done.
Just looked so nice.
Yeah. It wouldn't work for this whole muck.
Won't work muck. It's got to be sand.
Got to be sand.
And over across the road, there was just an old slough there where this water went out, you know, down through ditches and things.
Yeah.
And when I came back that afternoon, there was a nice lake in there. Looked like about an acre in it.
Yeah.
They had pumped that all out and put it across the road.
Well, now, what keeps this water up in this lake out here in front of your place?
It's got springs all over it.
Oh, has it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even that driveway that we had last year, it didn't get always down lower than it is now, but it still had plenty of water in it.
Oh, it's got springs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Springs all the way around on that back side over there.
Yeah.
There's a big swamp back out in here.
Still out there?
Yeah, it's still out there.
Well,
don't ever go dry.
Yeah.
And it's just an old swamp, you know. Uh-huh. And I guess it feeds this lake down through here.
That's pretty out there now.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to get them old, this winter, I want to get them old trees out there now down the side and clean it up. But I haven't been doing that since this summer, just leaving it alone.
Try
to get that front down there fixed.
What you doing to that?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was just...
You've done a right smart idea.
It was just down through there was ditches, and it's all down the middle, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And rough.
Yeah.
The man told me he never tried to, Mr. Martin here, old farmer, he told me he had never tried to cut as rough a piece of ground. And I told him, I said, well, just drag it over it any way you can, and it'll work down. I think it will. And I followed him every time he'd run over a stump and kick it out, well, I'd get the stump, you know, throw it out of the way.
Yeah.
And he's got it in pretty good shape now. He's got to come back and drag it down. It's still got a few holes in it where he's turned with his disc, you know.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But he can drag it down there and get in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Yeah, that looks good.
I may have to plow another time or two to get it, get it sort of sloped toward the ditch over yonder. I cut a ditch over there, you know, and then drug that dirt back over in there. But I couldn't get it enough if that... The bulldozer, the guy operating the bulldozer, he just I don't know where he could and there wouldn't. He wouldn't do it like I want it done anyway.
Yeah. Miss Morrison, this gang, how many was there on that gang that put up your house, your block?
Well, there was just there were two men laying blocks, and there's one are floating, and three, four, there were six of them.
Yeah. All of them pretty good fellas.
Well, it's just one white man and five niggers.
You know this Gill out here?
Yeah.
I've seen them put up blocks.
They say they pretty good.
I've seen Uriah and then his brother. I don't know his brother.
Yeah. They pretty nice colored people. They used to come to the store all the time over there, and they was always real nice.
Oh, yes.
I wouldn't object to get them if I... But I just knew old GM's boys, you know, and I know Robert real well.
Yeah.
And, well, I'll tell you the big reason I got them. I wanted to put iron in the walls, and I wanted to put pour concrete down where the iron was, down the corners, you know, and pour the lintel up there. And they've done it several times for me, and they'll always do it just like I ask them to.
Yeah.
They don't ask no questions.
Yeah.
And, you know... It's just kind of, you get a lot of these contractors, I don't care if they're working you, they kind of feel like they know more than you do, and they don't want to do it like you want it done.
Yeah.
And these boys don't ever ask no questions. And what I want to do is drop a rod all the way down to the ground in that corner, you know, and then turn it over, just crook it over like that at the top, you know. Not just let it stick up, but just crook it over and let it go down the wall.
Yeah.
And then I had more rods coming down the wall laying on top of it like that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that really tight. Then another coming around the corner and turn around like that, you know.
Yeah.
And then this one down in there. And when you pour that full of concrete, why, I'd sure hate to tear it out because you have to have a sledge hammer.
Well, you had something like that over here on the floor.
Yeah. I fixed all my buildings that way.
Yeah.
You don't ever have no trouble with them either.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about where you're going to go in case one of them things comes through, you know.
Yeah.
You just stay home. Yeah. It don't cost much more to fix them that way.
I haven't had any work like this done, but let me tell you what I had. Some of these boys, some of these gangs is pretty good. It looks like, in a way, they do it so fast and so easy, sort of discouraging to do it yourself, even
well,
if you're able.
They're used to it, and they do it every day. It's their business.
Yeah.
It just makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care if you work at it for a long time, you get where it come easy for you, you know.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's why I like to go hire them. If I didn't have a bad back and could lay them up, I wouldn't lay them up. I'd just go get them. Cause then you get it up and get it over with, and then you're not wore out. You go and lay up all them blocks by yourself, you'd be wore out.
Yeah.
There's a good example right over there.
Yeah.
The boy over there starting to lay up his house,
and
it's so much work to it, he done got disgusted now with it, and he's done quit.
Yeah.
And done on 6 months.
Yeah.
And it started before I did.
Yeah.
See, there's a good example right there.
That's right.
If he'd had the money and gone and laid his block all up, then before he got tired, he'd had the roof on.
Yeah.
And then he'd have had to finish it.
Yeah.
That's
good.
It could be that this is something new that's come along. You know, it's always something new coming out. In other words, something will be the right way to do it this week, and next week there'll be something else come out new that they don't know about, you know.
Yeah.
That could have happened to you, and then it could have been the other guy just didn't care.
I think that's it, mister. Because I've had some dealings with him more than that. He said he was going to bring a boost and put out there, you see, but he never did.
Never did bring it.
No. They're too busy selling color sets, you see. And, they just don't want fools and anything that's small. But anyhow, they was good. Now,
you know,
as I noticed, you know, go up and get a little antenna and put it up themselves.
Yeah.
Well, when you get somebody like this, you see, he does much better than I would. It's you.
Well, you don't have no loose connections things. They know they got stuff to fix it with, and you know they know how to do it.
Yeah.
That makes all the difference in the world. You get a loose connection, why? It just just like now that old set there is shorting out some way between them, and when he fixed that, why? It stopped it. See?
That's right.
That's what you run into.
Just like a new set. There
you
are. You think, Mr. Who is this man that Mr. Wallace chose for his running mate?
Lee
General
May.
Lee May.
Lee May.
You think he's going to do him good?
I think he will. I think he's a good man. He's a military man. He's
Well, now, we've had a lot of military men, you know, in the presidency.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of civilians up there, and look what a mess we're in now over this war.
Yeah.
If Lee May had been, if they'd listened to Lee May back yonder 4 years ago, we wouldn't have been in this mess now. Here's the thing, Mr. Miles. If you and I go out here and we get into a fight with somebody, and I push him toward you and back up, you push him toward me and back up, first thing you know, he's going to whip both of us.
Yeah.
Because we ain't trying to whip him.
Yeah.
But if he comes at me and you grab him by the feet and I knock hell out of him, and then you turn him loose and get up and kick him,
yeah,
he's going to damn soon quit.
Yeah.
Now, that's the same way with a nation, two nations into it.
Yeah.
We've just been dragging along there. You know that, Johnson. I heard Johnson say on the TV one time, that's when I fell out with him. He said, I want to send our boys over there with rifles just like they have and show them our boys are better than. Well, you son of a. But I've got two. And I don't want mine going over there with rifles to show them they're better than they are.
Yeah.
Because it makes it too equal. If we got all this hyphen angle stuff to fight with, why in the hell don't we use it?
Okay.
Right then, I started cussing Johnson right then. And I still say, he ain't nothing but a. But gone over there now, we've got thousands of boys killed. There was no reason in the world for it. There's no reason for it. Look there. They pull this old New Jersey battleship out of Salt Falls and took it over there, and that thing is throwing shells in there 15 or 20 miles. The other day, they were shooting at a plane over there and shot one down, and this plane radioed back to that ship where the location of that gunnery was, and he tore it up. Now, why don't they pull up in there where the, at harbor where they get all their stuff through?
Yeah.
90% of their stuff goes there. Why don't they pull up in there and blockade that thing and let what ships are in there out? Tell them it's blockaded. Let three in there, get out, and we get all those foreign nations out of there. Tear it up. Yeah, I mean, and I just, I'm 100% for Lee May. I think Wallace made the finest decision he could have made.
I tell you.
I was worried about Wallace because I was afraid he didn't know anything about the war, and I was afraid that he might get off on the wrong foot. But now then, I'm not worried anymore.
Yeah.
I know. This Lee May's not one of these kind that, that just wants to jump in war. Now, he's not that kind. He wants to stay out of it.
Yeah.
But he's one of these old kind that he stays as long as he can.
Yeah.
And like he said the other day, did you hear him speak the other day when they announced it?
Yeah.
But you heard what he said then. He said if he tried to talk to them, they wouldn't talk. He'd twist their arm.
Yeah.
Oh, we're in this mess. And just look what Russia done. Look how Russia done Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
There wasn't no food there. They went in there and took it over.
Now, you talk about that harbor up there at Haiphong or whatever the place is. You tell me the Russians wouldn't have gone in there and just cut the whole thing off.
They'd have done had it.
They wouldn't ask nobody.
And that's all open country around there. That's the best part of the country. Look, we could have gone in there. Let me show you something. We could have gone in there and landed on each side of it and not bothered any foreign ships or anything. Landed on each side of it and run around it and cut it off. Because, Mr. Miles, we got 10 times the firepower they have.
Yeah.
We can take anything we want to and hold it. The world they can hurt us is to slip up and hit us and run.
Yeah.
It's just like a bunch of little boys fighting you.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you walk out among them, you can whip a dozen of them, just kick and knock the hell out of them. But if you lay down and go to sleep, they slip up, hit you, and hurt you. That's just what it's like.
So you think he'll balance, Governor?
I think
Wallace.
It's the best thing Wallace could have done. I think he's, I really do. I think it's the best thing he could have done.
Yeah.
I don't know of a man he could have picked. Maybe one man would have helped him come near, helped him win, than Lee May will. But I'd rather have him on there if he does win than to have this man, and that's Daley. Mayor Daley would have helped him win.
Oh.
Because he showed what he'd do up there in Chicago with them beatniks, you know.
Yeah.
And I think he would have helped him win because
there's
a lot of
people. That, didn't he? Yeah.
There's a lot of people firing about that. They said they got mail in there, and 98% of it was complimenting him on what he'd done.
Yeah.
And the way he handled it. And, you know, this news media, they all tried to get him. They sent that reporter out there, and they got him beat up. Well, they asked him to get back and get out of the way, and he wouldn't do it. That's the reason they beat him up.
Miss Monson, did you read in one of these magazines, I think in Newsweek, that was right after the convention, talking about the new men getting beat up. And I think Mayor Daley said, somebody said there, right during the convention, if a policeman asks you to get back, whether you're a newsman or somebody else, you ought to get back.
No matter who you are.
They said there were 6,000 newsmen out there in Chicago at that convention.
Had gone out there and planned. Let me show you something. A bunch of these newsmen had gone out there and planted these beatniks in places where they could tantalize these policemen so they could make pictures of them.
Oh.
Now, that come out in this investigation.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it come out in this investigation. They planted them there and then hollered that there's trouble.
Where they get
to get
them.
The cops come over there so they can make pictures of them. Trying to, you know, show up the cops. There's a lot of these newsmen that are good and there's a lot of them that are bad. And that's the kind that was in there doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, Mr. Miles. Now, yesterday, Wallace is in Buffalo trying to speak. They wouldn't let him speak because so many beatniks there, and he like never got his talk, and Nixon had to cut his short on account of it. Well, now look, supposing that you come over here to see me, and a bunch would come over here and say they're not going to let you talk to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now that's just the same thing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. If this and you don't hear Johnson or Umfrey or Ramsey Clark, that's a low down to Clark. He won't enforce no laws. It's his job to do it. And when it's burning up Washington, and those grocery stores, them old niggas there had worked all their life having to save money to get grocery stores and motels and things that way, and they went in there and burned them up, and the insurance companies wouldn't insure them.
Yeah.
And now they've lost all that. And Ramsey Clark said, well, leave them alone. They'll soon get tired of burning and stealing.
Yeah.
If they would sue the government and I was on the jury, you know what I'd do? I'd say, well, buddy, how much money did you lose in this? And if he said, I lost $10,000, I'd say, all right, we're going to give you 20. Because you lost 10, we're going to give you 10 to look for something else with. That's what ought to be done. This government ought to have to pay for it because
yeah.
they haven't protected
yeah.
these little people.
Yeah.
And then old Hubert Humphrey run over the country talking about what he's going to do and about law and order. Have you ever heard him raise his voice to stop it? I'll tell you what you did hear him do, though. You heard him say that he could lead a good riot.
Yeah. When was that? Way back, two years ago.
Said he could lead a good riot.
Yeah.
And Johnson got down there and said, we shall overcome, we shall overcome. In other words, he'd march right with them, see?
Yeah.
If we don't get this stopped, you talk about trouble. We ain't seen no trouble yet. And then look what they have in Mexico. That's the same thing. It's nothing in the world but communism. These communists, you can take one communist and put around in a school, and there's a certain amount of boys that'll just go along for the hell of it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, like Martin Luther King now. Martin Luther King, they killed him. Hell, he was 10 years overdue. They can't tell me. He's always preaching nonviolence. But everywhere he went, violence followed him.
Yeah.
In Memphis there, if you was watching the TV, he came down here to this intersection when he was marching. He came down to that intersection like that, marching down this street. And when he got right there at this intersection, the riot started. Riot started right at this intersection. He walked right around the corner and got in his car and left. How did he know it was going to start there? How did he know to park his car there if he didn't know something? Shit, they ain't tell me nothing. I know he did. I said he was 10 years overdue. I didn't shed a tear about it. And I'll tell you something else. They're going to have to stop this stuff because if they don't, they're going to tear this country all pieces. Look, they don't have a leg to stand on. Let me tell you something. If you and I, just like here a while back, I guess you got sort of Billy Matthews. I did. He didn't do nothing we wanted done. He'd go to Washington, sit down in Johnson Corners and say yes to everything Johnson said and come down here and eat our barbecue and pat us on the back and then go right back to Washington again and get in Johnson Corner again. Well, we threw him out of office. You know what happened to him?
No, I don't.
I'll tell you what happened to him. Johnson took him up there and gave him a job in the agriculture department making more money than he was making. Now, if he can sling money around that way for these guys that the people have thrown out of office, why, he don't need no more taxes. And They're just taxing death. All Hubert Humphrey can think of is tax, tax, tax.
Yeah.
He don't care about you and I. All he wants to do is just tax. Just go down the road taxing people and just throwing it away.
Yeah.
We have got to get rid of them. If we don't, we're something. Yes, sir. We have got to get rid of them.
I don't believe Mr. Humphrey, Hubert Humphrey, I don't think he thinks in terms of always spending more money.
Always spending more money, and he's always the heights of tomorrow. The heights of tomorrow is all he can think about. He don't know what it is to get out here and earn a dollar like you and I have to.
Yeah.
He don't even know what it is. Well, you know, he was a charter member of that ADA, American for Democratic Action, wasn't it? Turned out to be a communist front.
Yeah. How long? That's been some time ago.
Oh, yeah, it's been a long time ago. But he still says he'd lead a riot, you know. That hasn't been too long ago. I sent him word. I gave him $500 to come make an open lead a riot. I don't believe he'd ever get through making open.
Well, at one time, I thought very well, Mr. Humphrey. I named a horse for him. One of my favorite horses.
I have never thought well of him. When Jack Kennedy was running against him in that primary in West Virginia, I just crossed my fingers. I said, I sure hope Jack Kennedy beats him.
Yeah.
Because he's a radical. He don't think like little people do. He's a political philanderer. He just wants to just go on and just walk over people. And he come down now. He's making good speeches. You'd hear part of his speeches. You'd think it's George Wallace talking about law and order.
Yeah.
But let me show you, Mr. Miles. Let me show you something. People have got to wake up. Don't take what they say they're going to do. Take what they have done.
Yeah.
That points out the true man.
Yeah.
What has Humphrey done for law and order?
Yeah.
What has he done for the little people?
Yeah.
They're always preaching civil rights and all, but they've never done nothing only just get votes off of it. They've never helped nobody. Look at these niggers up there in Brooklyn, New York. They wanted that school desegregated. They desegregated. Everything was fine, going to be fine. The niggers found out it was wrong. You've been hearing it on TV lately.
Yeah.
The niggers found out it was wrong. They fired these white teachers they had in there. They wanted colored teachers back. Well, the union wouldn't go along with it. Of course, that's controlled by the government, see. They wouldn't go along with it. They're going to make them stay integrated. Well, they're having all kinds of hell up there. Yesterday, they had 200 policemen at the school to keep order. Now,
you
I
mean,
say...
You mean that's still not settled?
Still not settled. I say this. The day the federal government gets out of the school system, that day will be the best day ever happened to this country. Because you know as well as I do, niggers and whites are not no more alike than cats and dogs. And these niggers want their own school and want to operate their own way. They ought to be allowed to. The whites ought to be allowed to operate their schools in their own way. And then they'll have peace and harmony. Now, you never heard of a school in a southern state anywhere ever have to have a policeman until the federal government started messing with
it. Little Rock.
That's the first one. And then look. Now, look in Washington. When Earl Warren said he's going to make that a model city in 1954, they started integrating them. Now then they have to have a policeman in every hall. They don't publish that in the paper, but right now there's a policeman in every hall in Washington, D.C. in the schools. It's just as regular for a policeman to be there as it is for the teacher to be there right now in Washington, D.C. Now, is that right? But they never had that until they started messing with it, the federal government started. I say we've got to wipe the slate clean, get every damn one of them, just like Nick. This is today. He told some people the other day in Virginia, he said, if you elect me president, I promise you I'll clean the house in Washington from the lowest office to the highest office. And that's what we need. We need to get that bunch of communist pinks, is what I call them. That's what they are. They're communist pinks. They're not socialist pinks. They're not communists. I wouldn't say they're communists, but they're socialists. What they want to do is make everybody one big happy family and them run it. They don't give a damn whether you live with a nigger or a white man and or both of them, but they want to run your life from the time you get up morning till you go to bed. They want to take everything you make and just leave you barely enough to live on and be sure you work. I say they're no better than Russia. I wouldn't give a damn if we can't change it. I wouldn't turn on my heel for the difference between what we got and what Russia's got.
Now, you run across a lot of these colored people, Mr. Lawrence. No, you did. Well, they were over in the store. Did you ever notice a greater urge on their part to go to the white schools?
Never have heard one yet say he wanted to go to a white school. All I've ever heard them complain about, and they should have complained, was that they wanted equal facilities, and some of them didn't have equal facilities with whites. And that's all I've ever heard them complain about, and I say they should have had it. But I'll tell you one thing. You can go right over there, any of these niggas right here in Micanopy, and go talk to them, and they'll tell you they don't want it. They don't want to mess with it. They'd rather just go on their own way. If they make them go up here to Idlewild, if they leave them alone, they'd every dang one go to Lincoln. I'm so mad about it, I don't care what happens to them. I hope that if Wallace can't get it, I hope Nixon gets it. And I hope he does just what he said. And I believe Nixon has sort of changed now. Nixon was in power, and he was vice president when they put Earl Warren in there. And I have never gotten over that.
Well, look now.
Eisenhower put Earl Warren in there.
But he didn't put him in there. He didn't put him in there to do what he did, Mr. Morganson.
Well, I understand he sent Herbert Brownell out there to talk to him and find out his feelings before he appointed him.
But he never developed like this until he got into the court.
I know it.
Is what I read.
Yeah, I do too. But I believe he was far to the left, and I believe Eisenhower knew it. I've always held that against him.
I don't believe he knew it.
He might not. No. I don't say he did, but I've always felt like he did. But I'm bitterly opposed to him.
I don't think he did.
Whole thing.
I don't think Eisenhower. Now, you see, I'm not a. I don't know anything that Eisenhower did that would be akin to that in any of his policies anywhere along the line.
Well, I know he sent Hubert Brownell out there to talk to him before he appointed him.
Well,
and then he turned around and appointed him.
Yeah.
Well, he must have known sort of how he felt. Of course, now he could have lied to him too, you know.
Well, it wouldn't be a matter of lying.
Earl Warren could have lied to Brownell, you know.
Well, it wouldn't matter if he'd been lying. After he got up there, the things developed and he changed, and you know that happens every now and then.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me tell you, I saw this on the television.
Reader's Digest.
Yeah, I don't keep reading all.
This last one I got, there's an article in there where they call this OEO, the official this OEO.
Yeah.
And H.E.W.
Yeah.
Called them all in, and they told them before the Senate investigating committees, you know, they check with them regularly about what they need, the money and stuff they need.
Yeah.
Well, all they've been doing is just stealing money. They put out great big bills and say they need this and they need that, and they don't even use it for nothing that they say they do.
Yeah.
And they've been accruing to one another about how they could go in and lie to the Senate Investigating Committee and get by with it and come out and do as they please with the money.
Yeah.
And why in the world? I don't know why in the world they don't put them bastards in jail for perjury, because that's what they're doing in this book, and it's right in there.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they don't put them in jail, because they go out there, that's this administration, just go and just worm them out of money any way they can and take it and use it any way they can. And you know what that is. That OEO and HEW both is nothing in the world but just a political scheme working for Hubert Humphrey.
Which magazine? Which?
It's in the last Reader's Digest.
What's it called?
I'll forget the name of it.
I'll go home and look that up.
Let me go get it. He's honest and sincere in what he was doing. I really believe that, and I'll tell you, if it'd come up between McCarthy and Hubert Humphrey, I'd have voted every day in the week for McCarthy over Humphrey.
Yeah.
Because this Humphrey, in my opinion, is, if there ever was a socialist, in other words, what I'm trying to say, I wouldn't make a damn bit of difference between Khrushchev and Humphrey. If you just turn them both loose and let them run it like they want to, I wouldn't make a bit of difference between them.
Yeah.
Right here, tell us the truth, Uncle Sam. Now, just let me read you here just a little paragraph here. On April 17th, the Senate Space Committee summoned Webb. Senator Margaret Chase Smith, Republican from Maine, asked a direct question. Was North America, the first choice of the Source Evaluation Board? That was the airline, you know. Yes, it was a recommended company, Webb said categorically. 3 weeks later, Senator Smith had the facts and called Webb back to testify. She asked if it was not true that the experts actually had rated Martin Marietta Corporation above North American. Webb at last admitted that North American was not picked by the experts. In other words, that North American paid them off. That's why they picked them over Martin Marietta. He and his three assistants had rejected the expert recommendation on their own. Now, I'd just come right back to that stuff, just like McNamara and all that stuff. They've been running all this stuff, you know, and running the war. What in the hell would you know about running the war? What would I know about running the war? But McNamara would. Never had any military training at all. That's what's got us in the mess with. That's what's killed thousands of Americans for us. I say they ought to catch them bastards up. Johnson, Humphrey, McNamara, and I could name a dozen of them, and take them out and have a public hanging. Hang Johnson first and Humphrey second. They're guilty. I mean, they're actually guilty. Now, here's this thing here. It's on page 131 in the October issue.
That's a new issue.
Yes, sir.
And it says, tell us the truth.
Tell us the truth. It's page 131.
Now, look at that.
And let's see here. To cover incompetence by deceit, bureaucracies seek to hide bungling that would justify the censure or dismissal of their administrators. That's the government doing that now.
Yeah.
Consider what the National Aeronautics and Space Administration tried to force off on the public last year. NASA spends $11,500,000 of the taxpayers' money annually and employs 300 press agents to glorify itself.
Yeah.
Think of that. It initially enjoyed immunity from independent scrutiny and criticism. On the night of January 27, 1967, fire erupted in an Apollo space capsule at Cape Kennedy. Three brilliant young astronauts were suffocated, and our whole program to put a man on the moon was set back a year. NASA attempted to depict the tragedy as simply a bad luck accident which could not possibly have been avoided. Death was instantaneously, listen to this, it announced, there was a flash and that was it. We always have adhered to the highest standards of safety, intoned the space balls. And yet, in spite of a meticulous attention to the smallest detail, this tragedy had occurred. Soon these reassurances were shattered. New York Times and Washington Evening Star reporters learned from engineers who had heard tape recordings that the three deaths had been far from instantaneous. The astronauts pleaded for help, and as the Times disclosed, up to the very end, they were scrambling, clawing, and pounding to open the sealed hatch. Representative William F. Ryan, Democrat from New York, unearthed proof out of NASA's own files that as a result of previous blazes, it had been warned repeatedly of the danger of fire in the capsule, yet it made no provision for emergency escape.
Yeah.
Now, if that ain't just damn right, I don't know what to say to make it bad enough for him.
Yeah.
But just like I said, the Johnson on down ought to be taken out. I don't mean for a mob to go get him. I mean for the government, the Senate to go up there and get him and take him out and hang him. They're treason. They're guilty of treason.
You know that old custom they had, tar and feather. You remember that old?
Yeah, and I remember when they used to take them out and swing them on a tree too, and that's
yes.
A mighty good system.
And tar and feather.
Why has Johnson permitted all this stuff? Why has McNamara permitted this stuff? Why did they permit McNamara to go and get those M16 guns when they weren't even ready? They hadn't been tried out. And they bought millions of dollars worth of them, just on his say-so. That ain't right. Got our boys killed over there. They found a lot of our boys sitting there, humped up over his gun with his gun tore down, trying to fix his own gun that had jammed on him. Sure, the M16 is a good gun, but it had its bugs in it, and they had to be gotten out. And why didn't they get them out here and let them boys on the front lines get them out? And then people go along and vote for such bastards as that. Man, I can't understand them. I can't understand them.
Well, you know, one of the questions they asked Mr. Humphrey on one of those news programs, people say they need a change.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Thomas, what do you say about that?
Well, I come right back at him now. What does the federal government do? Let's take his own business. What does the federal government do with a bank when it's going broke through incompetence of its officers? They take it over, the bank examiners take it over, and they get rid of all the officers in the bank, and then if they can bring it out and make it pay out, they'll do it and put in new officers from top to bottom. That's exactly what they do. Now, why didn't somebody tell Hubert Humphrey that? Because I know I ain't the only guy who knows that, because I have seen banks go broke, and I have seen that happen, and I know others have too, and that's what the government does.
And the government is not as successful.
And they're not as successful either.
Business organization right now.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yeah. Oh, man, if we ever needed a house cleaning, we sure do need it. I'm for Wallace, but I'll go along with Nixon if Wallace can't get it.
I don't believe there's any possibility of the Democrats going back in. Let me tell you,
I don't think
the Democrats even want to get back in.
Let me tell you something. Yeah, they do, too. Let me tell you something. Did you know that the federal government has got more people on the payroll than the Republicans have registered? Did you know that? The federal government has got more people on the payroll than the Republicans have got registered. Now, think of that. And look, now right here, we got a damn black bitch that has never done nothing but go around and raise hell and have illegitimate children for the state to take care of.
Yeah.
And you know what she's doing? She's on the government payroll as a OEO, community action worker. And you know what she's doing? She's hauling niggers to vote, hauling niggers to register so they can vote for Humphrey.
Yeah.
That's in Micanopy. There's a dozen of them in Gainesville doing the same thing. They're doing it all over this country. They're using our money. Listen, they're spending millions and millions of dollars of our money just for such stuff as that for Humphrey.
Hey.
Hey, Ben Morrison.
Man, don't you never forget it. They are really working. And we're paying the bill. This OEO and the Community Action Program and this VISTA group, you know, we had this VISTA girl down here?
No.
It ain't a thing in the world but a forced integration program.
Yeah.
Socially. I'll tell you what they do. They go down there.
She going to sit down with us?
No,
I'm
going to
sit out right up here with my dog. Come here.
They'd go down here, these girls, they had these two girls out here, they'd go down here and they'd get two or three little new girls and they'd play around with them all week. And then at night, they'd have a party out here at the nigger school or down at their house where they live with nigger boys.
Lay down there.
Two girls, two teenage girls when they came here, when they left, one of them 19 and 20. On Friday night, they'd go out there at the nigger school and they'd invite all the niggers in, everybody. And them niggers have the damnedest dance out there you ever heard of, right there in that white neighborhood, you know where the old nigger school is. And the government was paying for it. All it was a forced social integration program. That's all in the hell it was. And we asked them to get them out of here. And they come out here and they asked me all kinds of questions why we wanted to get rid of them. And accused me of being a segregationist and all that stuff. And asked me some of the most antagonistic questions you ever heard of. And all the time. Now, I'm talking about the regional director out of Atlanta, the state director out of Tallahassee, Claude Kirk, special investigator, and two white men, a nigger out of Gainesville, sat right in there in my living room and recorded everything was said, and then as soon as they got through the next night, went right back over here to the nigger school, called them all together and played it back to them. And you know what they done?
Yeah.
I got a letter a couple of days later in the mail giving me 24 hours to get out of town in, threatened to burn my house up, and told me that we was going to see in Micanopy, on the streets of Micanopy, what we've been reading about. So you know what I done? I got a hold of one of them. I said, now just let me tell you something. I hope this don't never happen. But I'm going to promise you one thing, so help me God. I'm going to promise you one thing. If they ever try to burn anything in Micanopy, there's going to be more funerals here in Micanopy than ever you dream could happen in one day. I said, these white people are going to shoot them from hell to Georgia. And don't you never forget it.
Okay.
And I ain't heard no more about it since then. And that's just what's going to happen.
Now, you mean these directors and all sit in here?
Yes, sir.
And you
and
talk
record. And egg me on to antagonize me, you know, to get me to say things and record it unbeknownst to me, and then took it right over there and played it back to these niggas.
I can't believe that, Mr. Muller.
By God, you go down here and ask old Roscoe Davis. He's a nigger. He'd tell you he heard it. And go up here. You go up here and ask this fellow Coles up here right on the East University Avenue. And if he don't tell you it's the truth, I'll go up there and kill him right before your eyes.
Who is he?
Coles is the name. C-O-W-L-E-S. He's the head man here of Vista, of the Community Action Program in Gainesville.
Oh.
And he don't tell you it's the truth, I'll go up there and kill him right before your eyes.
You mean all that can happen right here?
All that's happened right here. And they didn't want to get them girls out here. Well, they'd have them nigger boys down there all the time tonight. Yeah. Old man Sheffield said he couldn't rest for them. All the time tonight from before, from,
Ms. Morrison, why do they want to send children in to do things like that for? Why don't you, if they're going to send anybody, send somebody that's old enough to know what's going on.
Well, they just got off on the wrong foot. They might have been off on it before they got here. You can't tell.
You know, this ain't the first time, Mr. Miles, while we've had these students all over the South for the last 8 to 10 years. Showing
come
us
here.
How to integrate with them.
Come here.
Look up there, Viola Luzzo. She
come
wasn't
here.
No teenager, but she was
come
up there at Selma.
Yeah.
Trying to show them. And she was running around all times of night with, she was running around all times of night with
girl.
with these nigger boys, you know, when
yeah,
they killed her.
Girl.
She was out with the nigger boys the night that they killed her, after midnight.
Come here, Tramp.
Come on over
come here. He don't want you. Come here.
That's the policy of the federal government. Seems like to do those things that way. I'm just laying low. I've got all this information. I'm just laying low, and I tell everybody
down,
I see about it too, and I tell them the
lay
truth
down.
About it, because all it is a federally paid for social, forced social integration program. That's all it is. I wrote George Wallace a letter, and I told him about it. Told him what happened, and told him about it. And you know, the other day he's speaking in Chicago. He brought out some of the things in his speech that I told him in my letter.
Is that right?
And he says, if anybody wants to know where this happened, I can give him the name, too.
You keep a copy of it?
Yes, sir. I kept a copy of it and told him that if anybody want to know or anybody want to ask any questions or doubt it, give him use my name. And I didn't care one bit for him to use my name. I didn't tell him write to me. I told him just use my name. Tell him
yeah.
Who told him.
Well, I'd love to see it sometime. Well, now let's see. You see, I haven't, I tell you, Mr. Morrison, this weather this summer cut me back.
Now, ask Mo, how long before I get in there? Where'd she go? She just mopped the floor that minute ago. I was going to show you what I got. Show you how it works. It ain't no trouble. You can fix it on your house. I'm sure you could. That ain't trouble at all. What it is, it's just a big fan. Now, I got mine in the bathroom window.
Yeah.
And you just turn it on, just flip the switch in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And that fan comes on, and man, you can go in there. I lay down on my bed at night. I just feel that cool breeze coming over. And you know, that's so nice.
Yeah.
You know, at night, you have a cool breeze if the air is stirring.
Yeah.
It's a cool breeze if the air is stirring.
Yeah.
Mr. Miles, I'll tell you another fella. Leroy Collins here is running against Gurney.
Yes, I wanted to talk with you about Leroy.
Well,
Collins.
Do you know that Leroy Collins, when Johnson was elected, he went right up there and fell in bed with Johnson and started just doing his dirty work for him. And did you know that he promoted and conducted that Selma march? You remember that Selma march they had, where they forced that march from Selma, Alabama to Montgomery? Did you know that he conducted that march? And then here, about 6 months ago, I heard him down here at Tampa crowing about it. Crowing about how he conducted the Selma march. He was there when Viola Luzzo got killed. He wasn't out there with her, but he was with these marchers in Selma, from Selma, Alabama. And that bastard is down here running for senator.
Well, you think Gunny has got a chance?
I don't know. I sure hope something happens. I don't care what happens to him. I sure hope something happens to Collins.
Well, have you followed what they've been saying?
Yeah, some.
Gurney.
Gurney ain't saying the things I'd like for him to say. He seemed to be mealy-mouthed. Why don't he put it on him about this, putting on this Selma march up there? People don't like it. You don't like no better than I do. Nobody likes it. But no, a lot of people don't know about it. A lot of people have forgotten about it. Gurney ought to get on him about it. Ask him. I'd ask him right point blank. I'd say, now, what are you trying to do? You trying to get to be senator so you can go out and put on some more sex orgies like that you did in Selma, Alabama?
Gurney came out with one good suggestion, that these high bodies, you see, like Supreme Court, come up for reapproval.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's what it ought to be, too. That's a good point that he made.
Well, now, I wouldn't, I can't see anything wrong with that.
No. Look, let me tell you something. If you're working and you're honest and you're working, you're doing a good job, you're trying to do a good job, you don't care who checks on it. Just like I said the other day about, I don't know, we had something down in town come up. And I said, well, we ought to have an audit on these books, or his fire department. I said, we ought to have an audit on these books. One boy jumped up and said, no, so we don't want to, so that cost us $125. I said, I don't want to tell you to figure $125. I said, I could sit down and take an ad machine and you could call the figures off and the other fellow could check them and see if they come right. We could check what we spent and what we took in and what we have left. And I said, that's all we need. And I said, let me tell you something. Anytime a man don't, a man objects to his books being audited, you damn sure better audit him. There's something wrong. If a man don't care for you audit his books, you just well leave him alone because you ain't going to find nothing wrong. And that's what I think, too.
I tell you what, Mr. Morrison, some people are probably ashamed to have the books audited. I sure hate to have mine audited. I'm so poor to see you. Oh, my.
Well, actually, though, that's yours, but suppose you work him for somebody else.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yes, sir. If I was, they sure had better order them.
Yes, sir. That's what I always say. Can we get inside now?
Mr. Morrison, I think since Collins, you know, he's a right brainy man. I'm telling you, you bring up a situation, and he can he knows straight of it, seemingly. I think he's got... I think he's got Mr. Gurney sort of... Yeah, sort of intimidated.
That's what I'm afraid of, too, and I'll tell you something. I just soon have Humphrey's collar. They both think just like, what did he do the other day when he kind of thought he'd get in trouble? What did he do? Run right to Washington and see Ted Kennedy.
Yeah.
You knew he went to Washington last week to see Ted Kennedy. And come out for Humphrey, too, while he was in Washington.
Yeah.
If he's for Humphrey, he's no better than Humphrey. If he believes in the policies that Humphrey believes in, he ain't no better than Humphrey.
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
I think he's fortunate.
Well, sure, he supports him. He has from start to finish. He supported Johnson and all this stuff Johnson put on. All this stuff we've been getting from the federal government. Collins is supporting it.
Well,
all these schools busting kids one end of the county does. And you know they're going to cut off all of Florida's money because they haven't integrated fast enough.
Yeah.
Anytime the federal government can come in and take over a school system, I say then it's time to blast the federal government clear out of office.
That's your program?
I don't know whether I'm going to get it or not. Let's just dig inside. Set my law on that man and just run up to him and let the man go back. Then he could run the other fellow back and then he could tag him real quick and cut the other one off too. Because if he'd have gone on and the guy going back away from him, he could have gone on back second. The other guy had gone second back to first. And when he got that down there almost to second base, then he could have tagged him and cut the other one going first.
Yeah. He let well enough alone.
Yeah, he did.
He's willing to play safe on it. This is an ideal ballpark for him.
Yeah,
he
and that fell down and they both got safe.
Hey, they're from it, wasn't
it?
He probably
fell. Yeah. Here, I just close these doors here, and then it'll really jerk it through there, see?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. All you got to do is here, close these doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see how that worked now, and then you probably rig up the same thing on your house.
Well, now, how did you didn't make that fan.
No, that's an old fan that Buck had down there in the store, and I had one of his old upright fans. You remember that, and I had down on the ceiling?
Yeah.
And I swapped with Buck.
Yeah. Oh. Oh,
you got
I
that
see.
One?
I see.
Come on out here, I'll show you how to fix it up on
the All right.
Well, it ain't no trouble.
Oh, you just built a cabinet for it.
Yeah, I haven't even painted it yet. I've got to paint it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just going to wait till I got the painting in here. I'm going to paint all this.
Yeah, yeah.
this fall.
Yeah.
This winter or something.
You know, you are compact here, Mr. Morganson, but you got everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
And all the wall space there and the bathroom. You see, you've got cabinets
inside
your wall.
Inside there, yeah. This is a little storage room here.
Well, you're compact and
still
got everything.
Yeah.
And you don't have to pay for all this floor space.
I had about that much space in there in that wall where I had to come over to the end of the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just been a wider bathroom, and I didn't need it, so I just put cabinets in there. And I was going to panel it anyway.
Yeah.
And all the world it cost me extra is just setting another row of two befores out there, you know, across there. This is my little shop here.
Oh.
Play a bar and add my tools. And got shelves in here.
Well, what do you know? For Dan Byrne. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That looks like old Oscar Green.
Well, come on, let's go back and look at the ball game some more.
Mr. Morrison, let me tell you. Tell me while we were going in, I've got to go on rushing errands, and I enjoyed this talk with you, and I've been meaning to check in with you. See, I haven't had a chance. Like I told you, I got off on that weather this time. Sort of slowed me down. When they hit Mr. Wallace a good bit when he talks about the communists.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he mean when he talks about the communists?
Well, we got them all these rights and things that are going around trying to obstruct everybody's speeches. Humphreys and Nixon's and Wallace's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they never would let Wallace talk, you know. And now then, since Chicago, they've been on Humphrey, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's communists. They're all led by communists. And that the guy said, I believe it was yesterday on the news, that there was 20 known communist leaders in that Chicago deal when they had the convention up there.
Mm-hmm.
20 known communist leaders.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is, just communists going around there, and then these social pinks, you know, going with them.
Yeah.
That's what Wallace is talking about.
But the communists, you might say, are sort of the center of it.
Oh, yeah. They're the instigators of it.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And then they can get sort of followers wherever
they can
go.
Get followers. Of course, they don't go around to these people and say, well, we're communists. They go around and say, we don't like what they're doing here. We want to do so-and-so. We need to do this.
Yeah.
See? They make out like they're being mistreated, you know.
Yeah.
But, hell, they're not being mistreated. The son of a bitch shot right on the spot.
Well, now, they may not even know anybody on the Communist Party. And still sort of be communist.
Well, that could be, but don't never forget now, we've got communists right here in this country that operate in the Communist Party, and these guys know who they are.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys that are going around agitating, they know who they are, and they get their orders from them, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, their mail runs, and they write back and forth to them, and their mail has been intercepted.
Yeah.
And the government knows who they are, but they're not doing nothing about it, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The FBI, the government knows who they are.
Let me tell you something. Up at Columbia University, with 75 niggers and 20 whites obstructed that whole university of 30,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked the president of the university why he didn't do something about it, that everybody's rights had been violated, why he didn't do something about it. He said he didn't want to violate their civil rights. Well, now, is it fair for 30,000 people to have their rights violated just because it's a chance of violating 95 people's civil rights?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the majority ought to rule there, oughtn't they? That's how our country's made up. The majority rules, supposed to rule. That's the way we elect our president. You don't like one, I don't like another, and the majority rules. That's the way it's settled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that ought to be settled. If a majority of them don't want them in there going on like they are, that's the way it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
But there's 30,000 people there that was, their whole program was interrupted by this 75 niggers and 20 whites.
Well, now here's another thing they keep bringing, Mr. Wallace keeps bringing up, you see. He says, not only Wallace, but others too, that the money on these, these Head Start programs and all like that are used. Actually being used to support all this integration business and all.
Why, it is right here. Look here, this OEO, I told you a while ago out there that this OEO had planned to cut off all the federal money to Florida schools because some schools hadn't integrated as fast as they thought they ought to.
Mm-hmm.
And what they mean by integration fast as they want to, they want to, if you got a white district over here, no nigger living in it at all, they want to go over to Niggertown in the slums of Niggertown and pick up a group of niggers and bus them over there and then bus a load of whites over there.
Mm-hmm.
in order to force the integration. Well, when Congress passed that civil rights law, it said this law is not specifically passed to force integration, but to prevent segregation. And yet this Johnson has ordered his HEW men to force it that way.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going according to law.
Now, that's the guidelines.
That's right.
Now, is that in this article that you showed me about?
Yeah, it's all in there.
That about the guidelines?
Yes, sir.
Now, that's Reader's Digest.
That's Reader's Digest.
Yeah.
Man, listen, if we don't wake up here, why, we're going to be in more trouble. We already are. Hell, you can't send your children to a school without some son of some on your shoulder and say, well, now here, you got a white one here. Now, how many black ones you got in there with him? If you ain't got a certain number of black ones in there with him, we're going to cut your money off.
Yeah.
Yet they'll take that money away from us, and for every dollar they take away from us, they'll give us back 60 cents and keep 40 cents of it to pay these high mugsy mucks that they're sending around looking over our shoulders to make sure we're staying straight.
Yeah.
We don't need that bunch of sons of bitches. I say what we ought to do is start killing them.
What happened?
I believe in that. I believe in killing them.
Well, how has Kirk, Governor Kirk, worked in this?
Kirk, he don't like it no better than you do, but he's on the spot. There's nothing he can do about it. It's the federal government, you know. And they've taken away state rights. We don't have no rights in the state anymore. It's a damn crying shame when the president can appoint a son of a bitch down here and tell our governor what to do.
Yeah.
I say no one man should have that authority, because we have elected our governor here, and he should be the sole boss of this state, so long as he don't violate federal laws.
Yeah.
But that's not even a federal law, and yet they come down here and tell him what to do.
Well, you think McKirk's made any headway at all since he's been governor?
Well, he hasn't made any headway toward stopping this stuff. He can't, I don't reckon. I think he's done some things that are good, and I think he's done some things that are bad.
Well,
I think he would have done some better things if the Democrats had gone along with him, because there's a bunch of them old Democrats up there that see the handwriting on the wall, and they're going to stick with it, you know.
Yeah. Well, now some, I heard some say that this school trouble we had last year never would have happened if he hadn't egged it on. If he hadn't been hard-headed and all.
Well, maybe part of that was right. I had a daughter that was in that strike, and she seems to think that Kirk could have, Let's say it this way. He didn't egg it on, but he could have prevented it if he'd gone to the legislature and pushed a little more and tried to get them all together, you know.
Yeah.
That's where I think he made a mistake there. He didn't go to him and push.
He was being a little hard.
But I say this, that this is supposed to be a free country. And if you go down here and sit down to eat, and I come along and I say, Mr. Miles, you can't eat here. You'll have to wait there a minute. I got to go over here and get a nigger and bring him over here and sit down and let him eat with you. I say that's wrong, and that's what they're doing. And I don't like it. I don't care who knows I don't like it. And I'm fighting it every way I know how. And Richard Nixon and Wallace both say they'll clean house from top to bottom. And that's what I want.
Well, is it mostly a race question with them?
No, it ain't no race question. It's not race at all. It's the way they're throwing away money. It's the way they're throwing away money. Just like now, John, like I told you, they got more federal employees, and they're all running around here trying to elect Nixon and being paid with our money to elect Nixon to keep that damn bunch of cutthroats in office.
Their country.
That's what it is. It's not a race question at all. I can go out here and find you as many niggers for Nixon.
Now, pretty soon, he hears the cheering and the baseball game and has to go. It's about over.